want to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter anymore. I've been called this all of my life. I've been groomed for this. I am that adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, but I don't want to be called that anymore. I don't want to be referred to that. Why did he do that? Now let's go on. Verse 25, what he did, he choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, wait a minute. He chose to be under affliction with the people of God. And then he associated being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and the position that he had. He referred to that as the pleasure of sin, enjoying the pleasures of sin. What is sin? What is sin? Sin. We know the definition of sin, don't we? We've been told the definition of sin many times. And it's, you know, just easily described. Here it is. Missing the mark. So there's a target. And there's a big bullseye. And you shoot the bow. The arrow goes. You pull the bow. The arrow flies. And here's the red bullseye. And it's that far off. You miss the mark. That's how we describe sin. Now, if I were shooting the arrow and it was there, everybody here ought to be cautious, be afraid, because it may go this way, that way, that way, that way. I'm going to miss the mark a long ways, right? Here it is. Just missing the mark that much or missing it that much. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin, missing the mark. What's wrong with Moses being in Pharaoh's house? What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with him being called the son of Pharaoh? There's nothing wrong with that. Have we ever done that argument in our heart? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. We've all done that, haven't we? If we live there, we need to be careful. Now, look what it goes on to say. He esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of heaven. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. He had respect that God was going to take care of him and repay him with reward. That's what verse 26 is all about. Now, the first part of verse 26, I want us to get a little comprehension of what he said. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt. Now, at the time, Egypt was the America, the United States of the world. It was the world power. When Moses was in Egypt, it was the world power. It was the richest nation. Maybe it was up to that time, the richest nation of all time. And so he is comparing the treasures of Egypt to something important to the Christian. Look at it. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of... Now, let me complicate this for you just a little bit, verse 26. I want to complicate this. Christ had not come yet when Moses was here. Did that complicate the situation? The text says he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And Christ had not come. But here's what I want to do to solve that puzzle for you. I want to help you. I want to solve that puzzle for you right here and right now. Paul is in reality doing this. He's associating Moses to us and the Christian life, and he's telling us the lesson from Moses here is that the riches of Christ, they're great. The riches of knowing Christ, they're great. The greatest thing you and I have is knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen. Do you value it like that? That's the question. Do you value it like that? Now, verse 27, by faith. Again, we saw that word in verse 24, by faith. And we see it in verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Who is invisible? God is, right? No man has seen God at any time. Only Jesus Christ reveals him to us. He is God in the flesh, right? Now, the Christian life is made up of choices. We have to choose. It says of Moses, when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, choosing. Choosing. That's the word I want us to key in on now. He chose. We make choices as Christians. Don't we? We make, even if we don't acknowledge it, we make choices. We choose what time to leave. We choose what time or how fast to go. We make a lot of choices. We choose to be here or not. We just constantly make choices in life. And so we're going to learn something today from Moses and the choices that he made. And what worked for Moses will work for us. It worked for him, and it will work for us, right? Okay, you with me? Now, I want to title this thing as making the right choices. We're all about making the right choices. We teach our children, or we try to say, make the right choices, right? Well, God was at work in Moses' life. God was doing a work in his life. But at the same time, Moses was making some choices. And God is at work in your life. And God loves you. No matter who you are, God loves you. But you have to make some choices. He will not force choices on you. He will not make you make his choices. You have to make the choices of life. Now, I'll give you some Bible example of people that made some right choices. There's Daniel, who chose to suffer affliction rather than to do anything that he wanted to do. When he was there, the leader in Babylonian, he chose to be different than other people that were his associates. Joshua gives us the word. How many knows Joshua 24:15? Some of you will recall this one. But what did Moses, what did Joshua say to us? Remember what he said? Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, will serve the Lord. Well, Joshua made the right choice, and he says to us, it's a great invitation for us to make the right choice. You, listen to me. How many of you are here today? Raise your hand. Okay, how many did not hear the question? Raise your hand. Okay, you missed the first question because you flunked it. You were not here. All right, I'm going to ask the question. How many are here today? Raise your right hand. Second question. How many are too stubborn to do what the pastor asked them to do? Raise your hand. One honest soul back over here. The choices we make. The choice. Now, Moses, he didn't do everything right. Have you ever thought about the great people that the Bible uses to teach us about the Christian life? You think about Moses. Moses didn't get it all right. Remember when he chose to kill an Egyptian? How many remember that? Raise your hand with me. He chose to kill an Egyptian, and he did it out of anger. He did it because he was trying to, he tried to play God right there. He tried to fix everything. He tried to make it go the way it should, and he killed an Egyptian. What did that cost him? You remember? What did it cost Moses? It didn't cost him his life. It cost him 40 years out in the wilderness. You know, I'll be honest with you. We make choices every day. Some of those choices have 40-year consequences. Wow. I don't want to think about that, but that's true. Now, Moses didn't get everything right. He chose to kill the Egyptian. It cost him 40 years. Do you realize that's not the worst choice he made? That's not the worst choice he made. You remember the worst choice he made? He chose to hit a rock the second time. That one cost him going into the promised land. Now, the promised land in the Christian life is an illustration of the victorious Christian life, where you see the, where you see things going your way, where you see things working out. Okay? He missed out on God's best for him. But man, he's in heaven, and he made a lot of good choices. He made a lot of right choices. But you know, the first thing I want to get, if you've been saved, how many's been saved 10 years? Raise your hand. I'm checking out to see who's still in the house. Still have been saved 10 years. Okay. Not many. How many's never been saved? Raise your hand. No, you didn't raise your hand there either. Okay, listen. All right, listen. There's never going to come a time when you don't have to make the right choices. There's never going to come a time when choices may not, where choices won't be difficult. You people that are 60 years old, you people that are older, those of you who are at 60, 65 years old, you have choices that you have to make every day, just like the 20-year-old has to make. And they have implication. So there's never a time that we can say, well, we don't make choices. And I'm going to tell you, if you're in your 50s, you have to make choices. There's going to be opportunity. There's going to be right and wrong. And you've got to choose. And God put that with you. God's never going to pave the way to heaven for you in the sense that it's all worked out. And I don't have to make choices. You have to make choices. And Moses illustrates this, that we have to make choices constantly in our life. And Moses was a great man because he made some choices that were right, that impacted his life. And God worked through those choices in a great way. Now, you can miss out on God's best by simply not making the right choice. How did Moses get down there where he was 40 years in the wilderness? Wrong choice. God's hand was still with him. God was still on him. He represents a Christian, but he made a mistake that cost him 40 years of life. Now, let me tell you something. There's some very, very important choices that we make in life. And I'm going to tell you something. They're important. And you need to be paying attention to your walk with God. And you need to be paying attention to God's will. And you need to use some wisdom in making the right choices about some things that really have an impact on your life. Young people, let me say to you, very important. Dating is a very important choice that you make. Marriage is a greater choice that you make. Your education is important. And I'm going to tell you something. When it comes down to those things, you can live 40 years in discouragement over making some hasty, wrong choices that may even look right, but in reality, you're going to say, looking back, I knew that was wrong all the time. So we need to make right choices, don't we? We're faced with choices every day. We're faced with major choices at certain times in the life and in the year. We need to make the right choices. We need to do what's right. Now, how did Moses do this? By faith he made the right choices. And let me tell you what that means. It wasn't clearly laid out for him. It wasn't obvious. It wasn't obvious. Hey, you know, I came to a fork in the road yesterday, and it said, I was over in Nashville, and this sign said, Marble Hill, turn right. That's what it said to me. It said, Nashville, this way. And it was obvious that I didn't need to go that way. I wish all choices were that obvious. Amen? But they're not. By faith, Moses made these right choices, and for some other reason, he made some of those wrong choices. Now, Moses made some right choices. Verse 24 says this. These decisions affected the rest of his life, and Moses, now this choice, he chose to go against everything he had as far as the world's riches to choose to do the right thing. He left Pharaoh's house. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And we're taught that Moses was in line to be the Pharaoh of Egypt. He was in line to be Pharaoh. Wow. But he said, no. He said, I don't want that. He refused to be called that. So you have to refuse some things. Some things are wrong for you. You don't need them. You have to refuse. Hey, it's sitting there right in front of you. Sitting there right in front. You got to be careful, friend. You got to be careful. For example, myself, I'm going to give you a little illustration. I don't need to go to an auction. Is there anybody else here already know that they don't need to go to an auction? I go to an auction and I get excited. And I bid $5 for it. And this guy over here, he's bid $6. And then I bid $7. He bids $8. I bid $12. He $12.01. I'm $14. And then I'm $16. And then I'm $18. And the auctioneer said, "You're bidding against yourself." You don't believe it happens when I go to auction? It does. I get excited. And I want it. And the thing wouldn't cost but $9 at the store. And I paid $18 for it and it's broke. No warranty. No nothing. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Say amen. And I've done that so many times. Boy, that's a wrong choice. And thankfully, it's only money there, right? And then you go pay $9 and buy the one that works. But there are choices that we make that need to be refused. I chose to make that bid. But we have to refuse some things. And it's true, you can't have it all. You can't have everything. You can't have it all. You have to refuse some things. Paul even mentioned this in Philippians 3, verse 7, where he said this, "But what things were gained to me," he said, "those I counted lost for Christ." Now listen to what Paul said. Now are you here? How many's got your ears on? You're still listening to me. Paul said, "There are some things I really wanted. I really wanted them. They were emotionally attached to me and they would have brought great comfort to me. I wanted them. But they weren't expedient for my Christian life." Boy, there's some things that are hard choices. They're hard choices. And I wish I could say I've always made the right choice. I've too often made the wrong choice. And I'm just trying to say to you, you need to just turn from those things and say, "Hey, those are not expedient. They're not a part of the Christian life that I need. I need to say no. I need to refuse that so that I can have God's best." And I don't even see God's best. Back to, he did it by faith. Are you hearing me? He did it by... Here he is. He had a choice. Listen to this choice. He could have sat on a throne. He could have had all the gold, all the riches of Egypt. He could have been recognized. He could have been the king. He could have had servants. He could have had all he wanted. He had food. He had it all that the world could offer. But he chose to go a different route. And guess what? The next choice he made after he got that one right, he killed that Egyptian and he went 40 years. Oh man, I wish it all worked out the way I want it. You know, that's why I watched Wagon Train and Rawhide. You know what I'm saying? Anybody else here do that? Man, I watch Rawhide because I love it when at the end the good guys win, right? But boy, old Rowdy can make some bad choices, but he always comes down on top. But Moses, just as soon as he made that right choice, I can just imagine now what he said. He said, "I'm on a roll now. Man, I got this thing going. I got the right, I did that, it hurt, and now I'm going to go gung-ho. I'm going 100%. And that Egyptian was out there, was beating on one of the Israelites out there, and he killed him, hit his body. 40 years. Did you realize that in a race, there's only one winner? Now you need to listen to this. This is a valuable lesson of life that means very little except for your emotional stability. Only one winner in a race. Car race, one winner, right? Sometimes you come in fifth. You need to remember there's some points that come along with it. So if you don't win, just keep running. And you keep earning points. Here's the valuable lesson that means nothing to most of you. How many of you like baseball? Raise your hand. I want to ask you a second question. Are you sure you like baseball, or do you like winning baseball? Right? Most of you like winning baseball. That's why you don't watch it, because there's too much losing. That's just a real, real simple thing. But you know what life is? A life is a lot of losing. It's a lot of losing, but you lose your way to the finish line when Christ comes to take you home. It's bigger than winning and losing. It's about doing it right. It's about doing it right. You know, I tell you, you take this weight loss thing. You take this weight loss thing. Oh, man, get on the scales. Man, here, there's what the scales say. Man, look at that. I've done good. Oh, today I've done bad. Today I've done good. Today I've done bad. It's not about what the scales say. It's about making the right choice. Right? Glad some of you don't even have the slightest idea about weight loss. Paul said, I had to turn some things down. But the things that were gained to me, I counted them lost for Christ. I turned against those things that really felt good, that I might do what's right. He had to turn his back on those things. He had to say no to them. Attitudes, activities, some things that were important. Jesus gave us the promise in Mark 10 that if we make those choices, it will all come back to us in the end. But see, faith doesn't tell us all of that. Faith doesn't confirm our answers immediately. Are you with me? Faith does not confirm the answers immediately. When you give up things for God, the rewards are many times way on down the road. Way on down the road. Now, we need to choose the right things. Look at verse 25. He refused some things, verse 24, and then verse 25, he chose some right thing. Choosing rather, look at it, choosing rather, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction. What? That is not the American way. But yes, it is, though. It really is, to be honest with you. It is the American way. It is the right way. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. What's the next phrase? Yeah, for a season. Boy, I tell you what, Satan doesn't paint it like it's a season, does he? The pleasures of sin for a season. The pleasures of sin just look enjoyable. They look pleasing. They look like they're rewarding. But the Bible says they're only for a season. All right, let's have confession. The last time you sinned, you did it because you felt it was the right thing to do? No. The last time you sinned, you did it because it looked pleasurable. It seemed to be pleasurable. You knew there was some emotional gain to it, and you got involved with it. You never thought about the consequences. You never thought about how long the emotional high would last. You never thought about the fact that the good that I'm enjoying is just going to last for a little while. Well, that's what the Bible teaches us. And what the Bible teaches us is true. Now, you need to make some right choices. And he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So he went against. Now listen, he went against human instinct here. Now, who in their right mind would walk out of the palace of Egypt and put on a servant's outfit and go to work in with the with the children of Israel and those, well, that's what happened to Charles and Heston, okay? Right? That's what happened to him. And so, who would choose that? It went against his human instinct. If you choose God's will, it doesn't guarantee popularity. It doesn't guarantee that it's going to be easy. Now, his insights were, his choices were based on what his insights told him was the right thing to do, God's will. God's will. You know, God's will doesn't always reward us immediately. It doesn't. Sometimes it doesn't reward us in this life. Sometimes the reward is in eternity. So you need to make some choices, refuse some things. You need to make some choices that are right. So what do you need to choose? All right, here we are. Are we all here? We're all here, right? Here we are, and we're all here. So, first of all, if you haven't made a choice and trusting Christ as your Savior, you need to make a choice in salvation. You need to choose to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because I got news for you. Whether you believe it or not, you're going to wake up in eternity someday. You're going to wake up in eternity. When your lights go out in this body, your lights come on in eternity. And there's not three places. There's only two. One of them is in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other is separated from God in eternal torments. So you got to make a choice there. And listen. God didn't choose to damn you to hell. God did not choose to damn you to hell. You're damning yourself with your choices. God chose to open the door to you to be saved. And here you are today. And he's given you the opportunity to be saved. But you have to make that choice. I can't. If I could make that choice, I would. But I can't make it. You have to choose. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. This day, you can make a choice to be saved. You can choose Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you can refuse it. God has you here, if you're not a Christian, to make that choice. Now, if you are a Christian, there's some other choices we make. There's some other choices we make. We make a choice about separation. We need to make that choice. We have to make that choice in salvation, and we need to make the choice in separation. Now, what this means is that we can't have it all. We have to choose to refuse some things. We have to choose, no, I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say no. So we have to make that choice of separation when we don't have to. Listen, if you only go through life by your natural instincts, if you only go by your natural instincts, you're going to be a mess. Your natural instincts will get you in trouble. You've got to choose to say no to your natural instincts. Okay? So you choose salvation. You choose to be separated from things that you don't need. And then the third one is the choice of sanctification. We have to choose to do some things that are right. We have to choose to be something that's right, first of all. I mean, he's heard it. You can be anything you want to be. You can be anything you want to be. I'll tell you what, you can be worse than you are quicker than you can be better than you are. It's a lot easier going downhill. Right? We might want to stay where we are. You say, preacher, I don't like where I am right now. I don't like what I got. Well, it could be worse. You're in for that? And I guarantee you, the mind's instinct, the flesh's instinct, is to choose the pleasure of sin for a season rather than to choose to do something by faith that you have to wait for. So there's a choice of salvation. There's a choice of separation, where you have to say no to something, you've got to walk away. And there's the choice of sanctification, where you have to choose, I'm going to be this. Now, your choices make you what you are. One day, you're going to wake up who you are. And it's going to be difficult to change who you are. Today, you got time. Make some right choices. Choose. There's also choices of service. Choosing to serve the right master. Jesus said there's only two masters, right? Only two masters. Your boss is not one of them, in America at least. You have to choose the master of your life. Now, all these small choices you make will determine your master. But you need to make a choice today that you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to choose today that you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Moses made these right choices. Let me give you a couple things that helped him make the right choices when he made the right choice, and then we'll close. Number one, he made the right choices when he was thinking about the eternal things that you cannot see. He made the right choices when he thought about the eternal things that you cannot see without faith. Now, here it is. We all know that there's an eternity out there. The devil tries to deny it. The world tries to deny it. Well, when you're dead, you're dead. Well, whoopee-doo. No, that's not true. When you're dead, you're not dead. The Bible doesn't talk about being dead in the New Testament like you cease to be. The Bible talks about dead in the Bible to be separated from. You're separated from. So when you die, you separate from this world and this body, and you go into eternity. So Moses, when he made the right choices, he had eternity in mind and God's rewards in mind. And so he just made those right choices because he was thinking right. Let me encourage you to value the things of Christ, the things of the Lord. Your family's important, but they're not the most important thing, right? They're more important than many other things. But God's will is most important. Eternity is most important. And there's choices you can make. I've seen it happen year after year, time after time, where people will, I've got good friends that they no longer follow Christ. They no longer go to church. I've got good friends that no longer follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a young 61 years old, and I've got friends who have, I guess you might say, departed from the faith. Ask them today, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. When's the last time you went to church wherever you live? Oh, I don't know. It's 20, 30 years? I've got good friends like that. One decision. It can spin on one decision. When you make a decision, you need to value the things of God, the things of Christ, or you just might make the wrong decision. Secondly, Moses looked forward to God's rewards. I know it doesn't seem to be real because it's all by faith. You have to believe it by faith. Did you know there is no God? Did you know there is no God if you do not have faith? You said, preacher, are you an atheist? No, I'm not an atheist. I'm just telling you, you can deny God till you die and go into eternity and realize he is there. You can deny God all you want. You can say, oh, no, it's just luck. It's just the way things work. Or you can say, well, I just made the right choice and everything worked out. You can deny God till you get to eternity. It'll work. But Moses said, I'm looking forward to God's reward by faith. By faith. Well, the Christian life is illustrated for us by Moses in this aspect of choices and the ideal of having to choose by faith. Great lesson for us. I hope we got it. I hope we can get it. I hope we can follow up on it. Moses valued the things of God. Moses chose by faith. He looked forward to the reward that God had for him. There's where faith kicks in. Where are you at? You can endure. You can make it. You can make the right choices. Sometimes it will be because you endure. Sometimes it'll be because you just did what was right and it was hard. It was just hard. You have to put eternity into the equation. That when I die, I'm going to go into eternity. I'm going to face God. I'm going to be rewarded for my right choices. You've got to keep that in mind. All the rest can be taken away. It's by faith. You can't see it. If you go by feelings, you fall short of it. Has to be by faith. Moses made the right choices. Will you? Now, he made some wrong ones and they cost him. But he made some big ones that were right. I pray you make those right choices. Let's bow our heads.